So, holy name. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning. Shvatov. Says, Elukut Eitz is Rachila, letter Yutai. So, Ayidei Mezeda Dibuva, through the food that a person eats, food for their body, meaning which is the desire to Chaynu Taivis Achilu Shtil, Nechlosh Mezeda Nishmas. The more a person falls into the desire for food, and therefore they're busy feeding their body, so then the strength and the energy of the neshama gets weakened. So the more a person is eating for the desire of food, and we're feeding and giving our physical body enjoyment, at the same time we're weakening our neshama. We're weakening the sustenance and the food for the neshama. The nifkam hayira, and the yira becomes damaged. Our fear of Hashem, shebechinas reach tosh, the aspect of a good smell. Shehi ikar mezayna the nishpasah. This is the main food for the neshama. The main food for the neshama is the reach tosh and the yira, which is one of the three things that make us lose Yerushimayim. Three taivas, the main three taivas, the taivas achila. One of the desires that make us, a person when we eat improperly, makes a person lose Yerushimayim and fall to gaiva. However, so we always have an answer. We always have we're not lost. Yirchas al yidei shemekabel techacha matzadik emes, through accepting techacha chastisement, a rebuke, matzadik emes shiyakol echirach eschalkrei, who knows, has the ability and knows how to give the proper techacha to the Jewish people. Al yidei zeh makbirin mezayin the nishmasa mezayin the gufa. Through this strengthens the food for the neshama, and giving the sustenance, going to the neshama over the sustenance for the body. Meaning, right, we have physical and spiritual, right? We want our physical to have strength just enough to serve the spiritual. We don't really want our side of physical to be overpowering our spiritual, right? So through hearing Techa V'Sadika Emes, then we can strengthen the mazen of the neshama over the mazen of the guf. So we're in the middle of Shmiras Halasha Shara Torah Parakei. The Chas Chaim says, look how important it is to strengthen those who are learning Torah, and to give a person a Talmud Chacham from our possessions to feed it. The Pasuk makes it as if, considers it as if you are connected to the Shechinah. But it's very hard to be dabak, to be connected to Hashem. By supporting and helping a Tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham, this is how we could come very, very close to Hashem. As if your mind is connected with the Shechina. Like Chazal said in Gemara Ksuba Daf Kufir Aleph. The Pasuk says, Va'atem hadveikem Hashem elokeichem. You should be double. You should be connected, attached to Hashem. The Gemara asks a simple question. You think you could be attached to Hashem? Hashem's fire. You could be attached. Hashem's ruach is spiritual. I could be attached physical. I could be attached to Hashem. But he says, Chi evzhala adam l'stav. You could actually double, could be attached to Hashem, to the Shechina. The Pasuk says, Hashem is fire. Hashem is a burning fire. Burn us up. He's so spiritual. Okay, how am I supposed to connect to Hashem? So we said, what does it mean? Whoever marries the daughter to a Talmud Chacham and does business with a Talmud Chacham, and they give a Talmud Chacham from their possessions, the Pasuk considers it as if they connected with the Shechina. That's what it means by the Shechina. But connected to the Tzaddikim, the Talmid Chachamim, that's how we connect to the Shechina. They're spiritual. They're brought the Shechina into their lives as much as they can. They bittled all their gashmias and they neglected and negated their own self, all their physicality. And they are now spiritual. So by us connecting to the tzaddikim, by giving them and helping support them, that's how we manage to connect to the Shechina. But other ways also, by us connecting to the tzaddikim, that's how we connect to the Shechina. Because they removed all their self from the whole picture. They removed all their physical and all their own. And they took themselves out of the picture, they put Hashem in there. So by us connecting to the tzaddikim, that's where we connect to Hashem. It's one of the ways to connect to Hashem. Also says, the Gemara in Bracha says, whoever invites a Talmud Chacham, they're a guest in his house, the Pasuk says that's if he brought a carbon tamid. Gemara also says, also Gemara over there, also in Taf Sabach Gimel, it says that we learn a Kal V'Chomer from Yisro. Yisro, originally, when he invited Moshe Rabbeinu into his house, He did it for his own honor. Say, oh, look, I have a guest in my house. Right? So Talmid Chacham, so imagine if you invite a Talmid Chacham and you give him food, all the more so. Rabbi Yezer also says that the Pasuk of Shavuos, the Berech Hashem space, Evin Edon, Babur Relikim, Hashem gave a lot of people bracha to the ones who carried and took care of the Aron. Right, took care of the Ark. So Gemara says the Kal V'Chomer, the Aron is a box. It's spiritual ramification, it's not physical. If you give it honor, right, they cleaned it and they carried it in front of them, and still Hashem pays them back, Hashem gives them a lot of bracha. Kal V'Chomer also, who brings that, I guess, the actual Talmid Chacham with this, as who sits and learns there, you feed him, you give him food and drink, all the more so a person will get a lot of bracha from it. And the Gemara, the Medrash of Kehela says, Remeir was a very beautiful scribe. He was a kasva, he was a very beautiful cipher. Right? And he used to get, every week he would make three slaim, three coins, which was a lot of money in those days. It says, one of them he would use for food, one he would use for clothing and expenses, and the third seller he would give parnasa to the chacham. You see, even someone who learns Torah already, even if they're already Talmid Chacham, it's important for them also to give to everyone here, even though you're already Talmid Chacham. It's important for us also to give tzedakah, like Remeir, even though he himself is a Talmid Chacham, it's still important to give other Talmid Chachamim money to support them, whatever we can. Now, let's jump and learn. That's right, welcome to our Gemarashir. Sachas Beitza, Dav Zayin. We have five lines on the top. Hahu, story time. Hahu da Amar Lahu, Ve'i the Dechur Laman, made the Dechur Laman. This person came to the marketplace and he said, who has eggs that were fertilized by a male? Which means, like we said earlier, he wants eggs that could be able to turn into chickens. They are able to hatch. So he came to the marketplace and said, Be'i the Dechur Laman, Be'i his eggs, the Dechur, which were fertilized by a Zachar, because we know Dalet and Zayin are interchangeable. So the word Dechur, what's the root of Dechur? Dechur, which is really Zachar, because Dalet and Zayin are interchangeable. So he says, the eggs from a male, from who? It doesn't really mean the eggs should be laid by a male. It means the eggs which were fertilized by a male, who has? So Yoli, they gave him Be'i, the Safna Me'ar. They gave him eggs which were unfertilized from a male, which could not turn into chickens. Also, like the Rebbe Ami came in front of Rebbe Ami, and he said, what's the halach? Amalui said to them, Mekachtois, it's a mistake, the whole sale is a mistake. Right? You gave him the wrong product. You give the guy the wrong product, you gotta take back your product, give him back his money. Fahadr, give back everything, return, give back the guy's eggs, you take back your money. Because the guy waited for about a week and they didn't hatch. He's sitting there, he's trying to heat them up, they're not hatching. So he's like, he gives it back. So the man says, Pshita, it's simple, obviously. What was the question here? What's the end? What do you need a Rami? Of course it's a Mekhata. What do you need? What's a Chiddush? From Rami, the man has to bring it down in his case. What's a Chiddush? The man says, Ma, with the Tema. What would I say? Maybe this buyer really needed them for food. He really just bought these eggs for eating. That's why he bought the eggs. This that he said he wants them specifically fertilized by a male. Because maybe they're more fatty. That's what I would have thought. That was what this buyer's intention was. The buyer's intention was because he wanted fatty scrambled eggs in the morning. As far as the mind, what's the difference? What he was thinking? He got the wrong product, right? What's the difference he thought he was getting eggs will turn into a chick or fatty, right? He didn't get the product he wanted. The mind says, no. The maitri le beini beini, to give him in between, which means if the seller gave the person the wrong quality. He wanted grade A eggs. He wanted fatty eggs. That's why he wanted eggs which were fertilized, right? He wanted grade A eggs, right? And then the seller went, they tricked him, gave him grade C eggs. Right? Even though he got the not exactly what he wanted, but it wasn't a different product. He got the same product on a lower level. So the halacha is that the sale remains a sale. It's true the seller has to pay you back some money, but unless it was not just sixth overcharge, then let's say a person really wanted grade A eggs. Instead he sold him grade C eggs. Over there the halacha would be the sale is not off. The seller has to pay back the fraction, the difference of the price. However, Kamash Malan of Ami would say no. If this person wanted, he said he wanted eggs which were fertilized by male, we assume, what did he want? We assume that he wanted it to be coming to a chick. I mean like this, the seller could say, why is it, I didn't trick you, it's not a makartai. You wanted a grade A eggs to make scrambled eggs. I gave you grade C eggs. You can't cancel the sale. I'll give you back some money. Kader Rav Ami says, no. We assume that if the person asks for eggs that are fertilized, he wasn't looking for extra fatty scrambled eggs. He wanted them to be able to grow into chicks. So if so, then you gave him the wrong product. If you gave him the wrong product, then the whole sale is off. Good, so again, where's the Lachar, it's a Mekataz. Where's the, what do you, of course the Mekataz. What's Rav Ami's Chiddush? No. You would think maybe we could tell the buyer, maybe it's not the sale's not off. Maybe you wanted a different quality. Alright, so give back some money. Say, no, we assume that when you wanted to buy the egg from a fertilizer, you really wanted it to come into a chick, therefore you got the wrong product. So that's Rav Ami's Chiddush. That you got the wrong product, therefore you were duped into buying the wrong things, therefore the whole sale is off. Good? Let's see Rashi, the first narrow line, the Dikra. What does it mean he wants a male egg? What's a male egg? He means that it was born from a tarnagoilus. Mitarnagol. Right? And therefore he was asking for a chick specifically. He was asking for eggs. The line is that they not get heated from the ground. Lokoltan, beloy zakar. To receive the eggs without a male. So it seems like there's something of a process over here that even if there was no male there, somehow heats itself on the ground and that's what makes it receive the egg. I don't exactly know how this works. Maybe anybody else knows how it works. Fine. I don't know exactly the science how it works, but it sounds like there's two ways. This is the Gemara's. The Gemara is saying there's two ways how it could lay an egg. It seems like one way is if it was fertilized, or the other way is if it heated itself up, moved around on the ground, the upper, that's also another way that it's able to lay the egg. But
what kind of egg? An egg that's not
unfertilized egg. Uh-huh. It seems like it needs to do this process to lay the egg, which I don't really know. These days it doesn't seem to be like the case. They lay eggs just from automatically. They don't need necessarily to be. I don't know. You could look into it exactly why how this works. Because it seems like today the eggs, even though they're unfertilized, just they make eggs. They don't necessarily need a dance to do a chicken dance. No, on
maybe,
the floor.
Maybe that's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing. But you could look it up. I don't know the science. Fine. So we're saying here, no? So basically, the point was the main point we're trying to figure out is the person wanted a fertilized egg and not an unfertilized egg. He wanted a fertilized egg, which could turn into a chick. That's the next Rashi, the Safna Ba'ara. Rashi is Chamemes Bekarka. It heats itself up on the ground. The Yoledes baits it, and then it lays the eggs. Va'oizan baits him in a godless Ephraim. Those eggs do not grow into chicks. Those eggs that just became from this process of the hen heated itself up, it does not make eggs. Rashi has another Rashi, Safna. Korlata spates it. It could receive the egg. Kshim is Afreres Pekaka. It offers itself. It moves around in the dust, in the dirt. Ubusarach, and soon in the Gemara, like come on further on, Omar, right, it's not Mamashtach, not like the next Gemara, Rashi Mustamach, soon, like come on further on in the daf, we'll see Omar, we say the Gemara is over there. Kol Hecha, everywhere the Iko Zachor, there is a male, Loi. Safna the Ara. They don't move around on the ground through this process. Kleimar, meaning to say, in a collector's basin mina karka, it will not receive the basin for the karka, ela mina zocha, rather for the male. And what's this lashon of safna? The ena ela lashon spune timune cha. From the lashon of chumash, of, like it says in the farm over there, it seems like it was hidden in the ground. But what's Rashi trying to say before us? Why is Rashi giving the whole speech about the Gemara later? The Gemara later on is going to say whenever there's a male around, it doesn't do this thing with the dirt. So the male around, what's Rashi want? Why does Rashi tell me the Gemara further? Why is Rashi bringing me the Gemara further now? Rashi told me, by the way, wherever there is a male, it won't heat itself up from the ground. Rashi is telling me, say the Gemara is going to say that later. So the Pashas Rashi is trying to teach me, how does the seller know? Maybe the seller made a mistake. How is the seller supposed to know if there were chicks coming from him, right? I mean, this guy asked for
fertilized egg,
right?
In the owner sees that the hens scratch around the dirt, so therefore he scratched around the dirt. It's not a fertilized egg, it's an egg that's fertilized.
That's just like a sieve. Maybe we scratched it out of the dirt. Maybe he thought it was fertilized. They say no. We're saying over here, it wouldn't do this thing from the dirt if there was a male around. If it was doing this thing from the dirt, it means there's no one around. The seller for sure knew that. Maybe you could say, your luck's pot luck. I have my thing, and you're asking, I don't know, I'm giving you a chicken, I'm selling you an egg. Maybe we're saying here, the whole thing's a mecca of toys. He tricked you, right? We're saying here that the seller tricked you. Maybe the seller didn't trick you over here.
Isn't that much from the previous Rashi?
That what?
That the afterless egg isn't, the chicken is not going to do this ground.
Never said it wouldn't do that. It didn't say.
It's possible, no?
We said there's two ways how to do it. It didn't say he wouldn't do it. There's two ways how it could lay an egg.
And one's called this and one's called that. It means the other case is not called
but
that.
Not necessarily. It doesn't mean. There's two ways how to do it. Not necessarily it didn't do it. But right now I'm saying the seller, how does he know that this thing, we're saying mekatas, you seller, you trick the buyer.
It's your next seller. You need to know the difference.
Fine, so but how should you know the difference? Good, so how should you know the difference? Yeah, but this is the
enough
trap
is lower. You have chickens that are meant to raise eggs, meaning for more chickens, to produce two more chickens. And then you have ones that are just for eating, you don't want them to be fertilized.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Even the chickens that are being fertilized, not necessarily every egg is going to be fertilized from a batch. So this is like how to tell with eggs that are, with hens that are mixed with roosters, which eggs fertilize, which eggs not.
Well, if the hen is with a male, then all those eggs will be fertilized. The question
why?
That's because he showed me the anatomy.
Yeah, but if a man is with a female, it's not necessarily that the female is going to give birth.
But with eggs, it works. Then they're going to be fertilized. Why? The egg will be fertilized. You're selling him a fertilized egg. The question is, if you're going to want to have to make a chicken out of it, is a different question.
Is that true? Every single egg is going to be fertilized if a rooster is with a hen?
As long as the hen is with the rooster, I would every 7 days.
I don't think any animal has 100% rate of conception like that. I think that's not necessarily true at all.
Okay, I don't know.
Exception or not, it's a fertilized egg.
I don't know.
You want to buy a fertilized egg.
Yeah,
but you buy a fertilized egg, and it's not gonna, and for some reason it's not going to catch, then it's not a makeup toast. You bought a fertilized egg, right. The guy sold you a fertilized egg.
I for sure don't know.
If there was such a chance, then they would be.
That's why
this is
funny.
You would know that the chance
that
it's not
going to
happen.
Okay, fine. Stealing like it's not so posh. You can have a chicken, stealing like it's not so simple. So how can this guy be sure? Let's say he has a chicken right here. He jumped over the mechitza. Let's say while you were sleeping in the middle of the night, jumped over the mechitza this last night. The chicken ran over before when you weren't looking. He crossed the lot. He ran back to his thing.
Okay, that's fine. So
we're just
regular eggs. You're selling regular eggs, and you think the regular and the fertilized.
How do you know for sure?
Something at a higher value.
Yeah, but how do you know the opposite? How do I know? You tell me the guy made the seller for sure tricked the other guy.
Tell me that the male ran away and left your hen. It never happens.
Ask Fred. Fred's not going to tell you that every single egg is fertilized
No, this process of she's mechamemes on the ground, or.
Yeah,
that's the only way to lay an egg. So it was either fertilized or that happened. If it was with a male, it was fertilized. Otherwise, you see her doing this other thing.
It could be with a male, and Pasha says it's still not fertilized, and still would have to run out.
No, if it's related, it'll have to be fertilized. The question is if that fertility will be fertile. But it will. In order to lay the egg, it has to go through that thing, right? That's when the
correct. If a hen is with a rooster, okay. Diagram is diagram. If a hen is with a rooster, and there's semen whatever in the hen, is there a 100% chance that the egg is going to be fertilized?
I don't know.
Lechor not right. You would assume not.
But from what you explained to me, it wouldn't have been laid if it was not fertilized.
No. It's still not fertilized. It's still not fertilized. And then it would do the ground thing.
Fertilization. And if it laid unfertilized if it was with a male?
Yes.
That's the question.
That's what I'm saying. It would be with a male, and then it would still have to run because it's not...
Did it
catch?
He's putting forth a hypothesis that even if there was a male there, that sperm did not fertilize that egg. And then
according to that hypothesis, it doesn't work according to the fact that we learned that the only way it can continue passing through that valve is if it got fertilized.
No. If it didn't get fertilized... It will still go down the valve, but to get laid, then it goes through the dance on the ground and eat itself.
That's what I'm saying.
So you'll see a regular hen that's usually with a rooster pitam dancing. So you'll know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's coming out right after that dance is not fertile.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Makes sense. Yeah, but you have to see the dance.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. So the seller would know.
Right.
Yes.
Whether
you watch
egg was
going to
be fertilized or not.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Right. Okay, good. Fine. Everyone's happy. Okay, good. Perfect. Oh. Fine. Let's see. Fine. That's this Gemara. So basically, you, the seller, you made a mekach tais. You, seller, you knew that this thing is never going to occur in terms of that chick. You sold the guy the wrong product because you sell him scrambled. He doesn't want scrambled eggs. He wants a chick to be born. Fine. It's like a mashmalan that we could assume that this thing of the mekach tais, the whole sale is off. You can assume it's a mekach tais, the whole sale is off. Fine, very good. That was the story we're bringing in for the last Gemara. Now we're going back to our original question. What does it mean, imi tziyasa nigwer? Right? Remember, a long time ago, we had a Rav. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that the egg, with its coming out, that's when it's completed. So we want to know which halachic ramification just changed now that the egg was born. Right? So originally, the Gemara finally, we had a good shot. We said it's about applying and selling. Right? It's just afraid the halach of a sale. That's what we need to know, that when it comes out, that's when it is completed. Meaning, that's when it could turn into a chick. The ibayis emas, so the first shot was a good shot. Then why saying, if you want, you could also say another good shot. Your first shot was nice, here's another nice shot. What does it mean when Rav said, imi yitzias nigmara? When it comes out, it's completed. Imi yitzias ruba nigmara. That if most of it came out on Erev Yom Tov, right? If most of it came out on Erev Yom Tov, and then Rashi tells me an interesting story, went back in, and then it came out on Yom Tov, it's still mutter. Right? If most of it came out on Erev Yom Tov, it's obvious, right? If most of it came out on Erev Yom Tov, it's obvious that it's mutter. Right? Because you always go by right, most of it came out on Erev Yom Tov, it's mutter. Rashi says the case here is even, most of it came out, and it went back in, and then it came out on Yom Tov, it's still mutter.
There's an assumption that that's the way it works.
Okay.
No. What I mean is, there's an assumption that always the fertilized egg, as opposed to a non-fertilized egg,
right?
Like if it was fertilized during the day and during before the day ends, it would come out partly, go back in during night, and then be laid totally in the next morning.
So that's really why later. Good. So now they want to say, right? Now they want to say that if you just ruin it, it's already considered completed. So if most of it came out of Erev Yom Tov, even if it went back, it's still going to be Mutter. Like Rabbi Yechon, the Amr Rabbi Yechon taught us. Beitza, Sheyatz Aruba me'Erev Yom Tov. An egg that most of it came out on Erev Yom Tov. The Chazra, and then it went back in. And obviously the thing was laid on Yom Tov afterwards. What's the halacha? Even though it was actually laid, we see it being laid on Yom Tov. Mutaris la'achl Yom Tov, Mutter to eat it on Yom Tov.
Looking at the children, they're measuring it. usually hide when they're trying to win.
Yeah, that could also mean it's halacha. I don't know how much you actually see it. It's just to understand Rav's chiddush. That was Rav's case. He's telling me when it comes out, more from this halacha. You're right. I don't know if you could see it. Lama Yisrael, I don't know if it's really possible. However, in Shulchan Aruch, we ask that you do pasuk like this halacha. So it sounds like it is possible. If you put it on a, I don't know how you could tell.
In this case,
yeah.
If it went back up after it was partially lit, late, and then you shot the chicken. Would that egg be able to hatch?
That's a good question.
Because it deals with the question with Robin's sheep.
Right, because most of it came out. I don't know. It's a good question.
Most of
it came out, and then it went back in.
It was in a shell, most came out. It's possible.
Well, it could be possible.
Then it'd be an issue with Ochoz Ha'afras. No?
To keep it warm.
That's a good question. I'm not sure how it works exactly.
What would the issue
of collapse? Because if it came out, we're telling us here, if it came out, most of it, the halacha is considering a separate entity. If it came out, that means you're considering a separate entity, right?
Mm.
Now it went back in.
Right.
And then you shecht it, you find. So, Pasha, what should be the halacha about this egg? One second. Here we're saying that egg is mutter anyway, because it came in mutter in Arab Yom Tov.
No,
your case is different.
No.
You're in a different case.
But I'm saying most of it came out. We're saying
most of it came out.
If you shot that egg and it wasn't, nothing came out, it can't become a hatchling.
Nothing.
In this case,
you shot it, you find
it. If you shot it, can that egg become.
Yeah, but one of those mutter. If it's.
Either way,
it's mutter. Because even if it was born, this one would be mutter. For sure, it's mutter. Even if this egg is born, it's mutter. For sure, if you find it inside, it's mutter. Right? Good? Fine. This egg is for sure mutter. It's ready. We're saying halachically this egg is a separate entity. Right? So it's going to be mutter. Let's see Rashi. Im yitzias ruba nigmara. Ulainyan yom tov itmar. It's really this Rav halacha was yes referring to the halacha of yom tov. That right? That we have to make sure it's laid on Erev Yom Tov. The im yitzias ruba. Then if most of it came out of my Erev Yom Tov from Erev Yom Tov. The chazra b'tochmei went back into its stomach. The yaldasa b'layla gave birth at night. Mutaris said it's mutter. The havilek said it is if ki'ilu as if the havilek that it is to it ki'ilu nadav me'atzmal as if it was born yesterday. Fine. So saying halachically this thing is to be mutter, even though it actually laid it. We saw it laying it the next day. But since most of it came out yesterday, therefore we can assume. Fine, so we're saying that that's all, it was considered an egg that was born yesterday. So Rabbi Yochanan Damal Kamana, for this, what he's going to say further on, that if most of it came out of Rabbi Yochanan went back in, the halacha is, it's going to be mutter. That's one shot. Fine, let's see Agamar further. The Igadamah, there are those that say. So interesting, Rashi's gears to us, this is another Ibai Sema. And Rashi, this is also Ibai Sema. Right? This is also a second Ibai Sema. Or Argamar says the Igadamah. Right? It sounds like it's in the same pshat, just there's two ways that to say the same pshat. Right? Rashi learned there were three pshat to Benarmish. Right? I had explained to Rav. Right? The first pshat was Mekach Tois. The second pshat was most of it came out. Now we're going to bring a third pshat. According to Argamar in the Gemara, there's only two pshatim. The question is how to say the second pshat. You got there, Rabbi Yosef? The question is how to say the second pshat. Because in our Gemara, we bring an Ibai Sema, that it says the Ika da Amar. Right? It's like an Ika da Amar means some say this pshat in a different way. It's the same pshat. It's not a new pshat.
Where is
Ika da
Amar?
The third line in the Gemara. Ika da Amar.
We learned something about an Ephroa coming out of the trick of the egg, right? They were discussing that. They found an Ephroa.
Why
are you discussing it? If his eyes
are closed, and it takes 21 days for
that frog to come out of
the egg.
So why would there be a discussion on Yom Tov or not? It's 21 days for an egg to come out,
for a chick to come out. I've never counted. It takes 21 days.
I thought it was close to a month. Close to a month. Fine, 21 days, fine. Okay, why would there be a question on whether it's, you can eat it on Yom Tov?
I mean, when it hatches, is that considered no?
The day it hatched. The day 21 was on Yom Tov.
Yeah.
It wasn't late. It's a different case. It's not the same.
Different.
Whole new case, yeah. Having the 21st day on a birthday came out on Yom Tov.
Question of no dar.
Yeah, we said it's a whole different shayla.
Just an egg.
It was a new shell, yeah.
And they got the shelf in the
hatch.
In your room. In the hatch.
And the heat. The fridge light. The fridge light. Okay.
So if you open the fridge and the egg, just take out that egg.
And the light went on.
So
let's see how Gemara. Ikad Amar. There are those that say like this, that Rav was not agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. Rav was coming to argue on Rabbi Yochanan. The Ikad Amar, my imitzi asadim, what does it mean that with its finishing, that when it's with its coming out, it's completed? Imitzi as kula nigmara. If it came out in entirety before Yom Tov, the entire egg came out of the chicken, then it's mutter to eat, because then we view it as being born on Erev Yom Tov. So what are we saying? My imitzias nigmara, imitzias kula nigmara. If the entire egg came out on Erev Yom Tov, then it's mutter. Imitzias kula in. With the coming out of most of it, imitzias kula, with it coming out the entire egg, in, that's when it's mutter, because we say it was born on Erev Yom Tov. Avaruba loy, if most of the egg came out on Erev Yom Tov, loy, it's not good enough. You need the entire egg to come out to be considered born. Well, afukim with Rabbi Yochanan, to go out, to go against the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, we're not going, Rav is trying to say not like Rabbi Yochanan. So our first shot is, when Rav says, when it comes out, it's completed, it means when most of it comes out, it's completed. If most of it came out on Erev Yom Tov, it's good enough. That's the first shot. Which means he's agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. The Ikad of the Amr says, no, maybe some people have the other way. That the opposite. Only if the entire egg came out of Erev Yom Tov, that's what it's considered born on Erev Yom Tov. But if not, if it didn't come out entirely, then it's going to be Aser. And we're going not like Rabbi Yochanan. Rav is going to teach Rabbi Yochanan, so we do not hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Rav could argue Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rav was a Tana and he was Tana Upal, he was a Tana and Amar. Right? He's like from the last Tana, he was both. He argues Tana and Amar Rav. So he's arguing, he's coming to go against the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan's a
Tana. Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan's a Tana. Oh, yeah. No one else.
So he can't argue.
He could argue, but Rav could argue. Rav had the leverage to argue about Tana and Amar Rav. He was both. Good? So here he fought. First, he agreed with the Rebbe. Said, no, he's arguing. He's coming to argue. His whole point, his whole shear was coming. He came to shear to make the statement to tell us that his base man, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Yeah. This came from the seventh. Rabbi Yochanan's time. Yeah.
I mean, this shear makes more sense. Because I was wondering why did he go up to the rope? Because if you say that the rope is when it's considered birth, then how could it go back up? So.
No, halakhically, you have the case. Halakhically, it's considered born. Just because it goes back up doesn't mean it swallowed it back. Then
it's right.
Well, once most come out, you come out entirely.
Huh?
What, once most comes out entirely?
No, it's about the head.
Because the head is different, because the head is the widest part of the body. So once that came out, it's very easy. The rest just falls out. It's not going to go back. But there is a thing in the head. The head could come out a little bit and go back, sure.
Right.
The head. Nachon, because it's true. By a person who wouldn't have most of it can't come out. Once, a lot of the rest just comes out easily. Once the head goes through it, boom, the rest is all narrow. So, right, it wouldn't come out. There wouldn't be such a reality. What?
The egg isn't like a head. Like, imagine, I don't know. Imagine with the egg, the thin part comes out of the thin.
The widest part is the middle part.
It's like that with a baby too.
No, the head is biggest, but egg is in the middle.
The shoulders are the biggest.
Usually, once the head comes out.
Yeah, then the rest of it.
The rest comes out.
This is like a breach break.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It's usually the rest comes out. Once you're right, fine. But it sounds like by an egg, there is a possibility. I don't know. If the words, there is such a scenario. It comes. It's even Shulchan Aruch brings down the case. I guess it was common. I don't know. But then Shulchan Aruch, this case.
Hiccups.
Yeah, breathe. Take a deep breath. Fine. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm not sure how all these things work. Okay, good. Fine. So, again, essentially, Rashi learned that the two pshat were two different pshat. The Ibai is the aim was one pshat is that it's not like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara is saying a third pshat is going against Rabbi Yochanan. Our Gemara said Ika da Amar, which means there's only two pshat. The question is, what was this pshat? What was the right way to say this pshat? Is it that we would like Rabbi Yochanan or not like Rabbi Yochanan? Good, but it's not three different pshat. One of the pshat are the right pshat. Let's see Rashi, Ibai Seima. Rav to go against, to go out from Rabbi Yechonon, he came.
This is really, instead of Ibai Seva, this would be titled
Ika the Amar. Nachon, that's in Rashi, had a different girsa. Argomar, exactly. Rashi, Argomar would say, Rashi obviously had this girsa, we would say Ika the Amar. That Rav is going against Rabbi Yechonon. The Imitzi also the Ka'amar, what does he mean he has to come out? That's what it's coming. He has to come out on Erev Yom Tov. Imitzi has Kula. Has to entirely come out on Erev Yom Tov to be considered born on Erev Yom Tov. Ulamiyute to the exclusion of Yitzias Ruba, of coming out, the exclusion of the scenario where most of it came out. Fun. So this is the end of that sugya, that we have three different pshatim, or three pshatim, had on this day. What was Rav's chiddush? Rav told us four words. We spent the week trying to figure out what he wanted with these four words. Right, who said the name of Rav? Beitza, Im Yitzia, Beitza, Egg, Im Yitzia, Asa, Nigmara. With, it's coming out, it's completed. So we're trying to figure out which halacha they're trying to teach me. All of a sudden, it's a new halachic status. So we have three pshatim, either regarding a sale, that, right, that if it was never born, and you try to sell me, I want to buy a chicken that can make chicks, it's a mekkel, that's a mistake. Or the second pshat is he wants to tell us he holds like Rabbi Yochanan. As long as most of it came out on Yom Tov, it's completed, and therefore it's considered you could eat it on Yom Tov. Or he's going against Rabbi Yochanan, and he's holding, if most of it came out, you cannot eat it on Yom Tov until it comes out entirely. Fine, that's that sugya about Rav. But now, but since earlier we brought down our first try to understand Rav has to do with mixing the milk and meat, so now the Gemara goes into that, that's the way it always works, right? Even though we brought down a shot which is unrelated directly to our sugya, but since we brought it down earlier, we're going to go into it already. Gufa, what does gufa mean? We mentioned
text of something we talked about before.
Right, so basically we mentioned earlier, which means we threw this in earlier. So what did we bring that earlier? Hashergat is a tiny gredos. One who shechs a tiny gredos, umatzaba beitzim gemuris, you find inside complete eggs. Mutaris. They are mutar la'echla mechalav, you're allowed to eat them with milk, because even though they are still in the egg, but once they got to the stage that they developed, at least to the stage, Rashi said, even if they didn't develop the white yet, right, it's still only the stage that has the yellow, it's still going to be mutter, it's still in its own entity, it's not considered part of the chicken, it's not considered a piece of chicken, you could eat it with milk. Come to Rabbi Yaakov, he says, no. Rabbi Yaakov Aymer, im hayu b'maris begidin, if it's in this stage that it's still connected to the sinew, to like the tissue, asuris, it's still us, which means like this. The Tanakama said, which means like this, that the Tanakama holds that once it's in the stage already, even if it's still in the stage where the egg is connected to the chicken, to the walls of the chicken with the tissue, still it's mutter. Comes your reaction says, no, in this stage, I hold it's still usher to eat it with milk because it's considered to be meat. Fine. So Rabbi Yaakov holds a chicken in this stage being connected to the sinews is still considered part of the chicken. It's therefore it's usher to eat it with milk. Fine. Comes where it says, Man Tana Laha. Who is the Tana of this, of the following? The Tana Rabbanon, Ha'oichel Minevela's Aiftahar. One who eats from the nevela of a bird which is pure. So we're going to see certain cases of yitar, certain cases of your tummy. Now, what's this halacha? What's this all about? The halacha by eating an nevela of a dead carcass of a pure bird is the following. If you eat part of its meat, if you eat the meat of it, then you become tummy. It's interesting. Touching it doesn't make you tummy. Carrying it doesn't make you tummy. The way to become tummy from touching a dead bird, a kosher bird that died, right? What happens? When you eat, that's when you become tummy. That's when you become tummy. From eating it, you become tummy, and your clothing become tummy. Good?
Eat certain parts.
Oh, but it's only when you eat the meat of it. The parts that are edible, right? If you eat parts that are edible, that's considered meat, then it is considered meat, or it's edible, good. So we'll consider it the meat. Then you're going to be, if you consider meat, then you're going to be chai. Fine?
So, if you eat it, then the clothes become
tummy.
But if it touches the clothes,
you do not become tummy. Correct.
Or it doesn't become
tummy. Correct. It's different than usual. Usually, If you touch this thing, that's you become tameh. Over here, only once you eat it, you become tameh. The clothing you're wearing become tameh. Now, it's only if you eat the parts that are considered meat or considered edible. Yeah, when you eat it, right? Putting it in your mouth, all these things you have to swallow it, the cup top. Yeah, the vloya, yes, you just taste it. Chaim said, halachically eating is when you swallow, right? So only once you ate it, then you have like what's for chalav also, all these things.
Taste it or eat a kibetza? Kibetza is usually the amount that you can receive tumah from.
It's better
eating
than
it's
not taste.
It's just kibetza, it's the rice over here. You want to come tell me, the rice, it's kibetza. Good? Fine. But if you eat, let's say, there are parts, you eat bones, you decide to eat the bone, or eat, let's say, the sinews, and we're going to say here, we're assuming they don't have taste, sinews are nothing, you don't become tum. Fine? That's going to be the halacha we're going to discuss now. Fine? Let's see the tanur about the rice. Ha'aychel medevelus aiftar. One who eats from a carcass of aiftar. You get an isra for eating the veil, but I'm saying you don't get an isra for eating the veil. You're not allowed to eat this thing. But our question is regarding the tumah aspect of it. So one who ate an avela, a carcass, a dead carcass of an oif tahar, a pure bird. So if you eat min hashalal shal beitzim, if you eat, which right now the Gemara, Rashi and the Gemara is understanding min hashalal shal beitzim, means the eggs that are in the ovaries. Does not mean you eat the ovaries. Right? We're going to see soon the Gemara is going to explain. That's what Gemara, we're assuming right now. Right now you're not eating the ovaries, because the Gemara later is going to switch, say maybe you're eating the ovaries. That's going to be a chiddush. Right, the Gemara is saying you're not eating the ovaries themselves. You're eating minashal shal beitzim. Rashi says right away it means the eggs that are in, from the ovaries. Right, so we're saying it's not considered. We're saying over here, it's fine. Let's see. We're saying it seems like it's not considered meat right now. It's considered its own entity, and it's not considered meat, and it's considered like just some unedible part of the chicken or the bird. Minah atzamai, so if you ate from the bones, uminagidim from the sinews. All these cases, you're not going to become tameh because you're not eating meat. It's not considered meat. They're all their own entity, and they're not even edible. They're not food. Or minah basar shenitlash minah chai. Or if you eat from the meat, which was disconnected from the bird while it was still alive, so again, it doesn't go into the category that you ate it from the nevela, because this thing was cut off when it was still alive. So you're not eating a piece of the nevela. You're not eating a piece of the dead carcass. You're not allowed to eat these things. It's usher to eat it. But all these cases are pure because you didn't eat the meat or something edible from the bird. Good. However, if you eat minha eshkol shel beitzim, let's say you ate from the from the eshkol of beitzim. Right.
What is an eshkol?
As well as a cluster, you're right, correct. You were correct.
The cluster of eggs, they're the ovary.
Right. So here, what you like, eating like the ovaries of the base, shell base. Or mina kurkuman. Let's say eating the kurkuman, say the crop.
Crop.
I don't know. The gizzard.
The gizzard.
Fine.
A belly button.
Chicken's belly button.
I think so. Okay, Bob, we'll figure it out afterwards. Maybe I'll just finish this one.
It's a gizzard. It's like a second stomach that they have rocks in that they use to digest and break up kernels. Chicken's not a belly button. My mom called the same thing.
Right, they called the same
thing. Anything that's born with an egg doesn't have a belly button. To connect the fetus to like a.
Thanks for that.
And it's the gizzard. Perfect stomach.
Okay, fine. Ma'adan v'ashol shobe. B'nei me'ayin, the stomach or the intestines. So if you eat any of these things, this is considered you ate meat. Because if you're eating part of the chicken, the al shobeitzin, the korkuban, b'nei me'ayin, right, eat the kishkas, or shehim ches ha'chalam, or you heated up the chalev, shehim ches ha'chalev, you heated up the fat, the gum when you drank it. All these cases, tummy, your tummy. All these scenarios, we consider that you ate part, you didn't eat actually a piece of chicken, a piece of chicken, the meat of the chicken. We consider you ate the meat, and therefore, in all these cases, you are yes, tummy. Fine, so that's this. Rice vegetable will stop here, and we'll see tomorrow how this works. Shkaya. Shkaya for the scientific.